Thanks for tuning in to the Life in the Front Office podcast presented by Suja Organic, where we inspire, educate, and provide advice and insights around those who are in the sports business and entertainment industry. Please follow us on LinkedIn and Instagram at Life in the Front Office. And don't forget to follow and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts. Lastly, get your 15% off Suja at sujaorganic.com with the code LIFO, L-I-F-O. And enjoy today's episode. Welcome to today's episode on the Life in the Front Office podcast presented by Suja Organic. Excited for today's episode on the Ohio University Sports Administration Series, Life After Court Street. We've got our guest today and Martin Graham from the Ohio State University. And with my co-host, Laura Waters Brown. Laura, did I do that right? Was the
you stuttered? You did, but you stuttered a little bit. But I recognize that you took the time to properly pronounce it. As we know, the Ohio State University paid lots of money for those three letters, so we got to make sure it's in there.
Martin, welcome to the podcast.
A little bit of hesitancy with you on that, Jake. Though I could sense it.
Just let it.
Well, because we're on the Ohio U series, right? So it's like, all right, we're covering both bases from an Ohio perspective. We got representing Ohio U, and then you're currently at Ohio State with the Buckeyes, which, again, two great places. So
it's Ohio over everything, full stop. Like, it's Ohio over everything at the end of the day. It's Ohio, the whole state.
There you go. Over Martin, how'd you get there? What was your quick GPS to we were before the podcast, we were reminiscing on Martin's also from Arizona as well as I am. So, you know, somehow, some way, we'll just say everybody's connected one way or another. The 6 degrees of separation is more like one.
75 if you're talking about Phoenix. Hot. So hot there.
I was thinking about that, Jake, when Laura was just saying Ohio over everything, and I was like, man, I'd never thought that would be part of my life. never been to Ohio before I came to school here, but
I can't get out.
Yeah, now I can't get out on that. Now I'll never leave. I got introduced to OU in a everybody says a unique way, but this is truly a unique way. I was in junior high in Arizona when Jim Kaler came out to start the program at Arizona State. And so he started the sports administration program there.
This is definitely a unique way.
See, yeah, I did not see you going this path.
Yeah. Yeah. And I got to be friends with one of his sons, Jimmy. And so we became best friends and we went to the same high school together as well. And I remember going to Jimmy's house, and in their basement, he's got all this Cavs autographed stuff and him on the court at the Cavs games and like monster truck stuff and motocross stuff. And I was like, man, this is the coolest basement I've ever been in. And Jim would always be talking to us about sports when we're like sitting down, eating lunch or eating breakfast at their house. And I was like, man, this is crazy. Like, that's all this guy does and all he thinks about. And I had never known anyone that worked in sports before that. And so we stayed in touch. And eventually I went to go play Division II basketball, and I've always been pretty self-aware. So pretty early on in my college career, I realized that I was probably going to go pro in something other than sports, as they say. And so I started to think about that my sophomore, junior year. A lot of my friends will tell me I should have known much earlier than that. But that's when I really started thinking about what I would do next after my basketball career. And I got back in touch with Jim, and I was like, you know what? I always remember how cool it was to talk to you about sports. And now realizing that that's what your whole career has been in, I'm interested in exploring that. And so we would have calls off and on over my final 2 years in school. And he set me up with an internship, actually, Jake, a company you probably know well, Blue Media in Tempe, who were some of his students at ASU who started their own company. And they do basically all the large format printing for major sports teams and sports events. And so I had a summer internship with them to just learn more about their business, get a little bit on my resume to help with my application to OU. which I eventually applied and got into. And really, I went there because of Jim. You know, after knowing about it from him and being introduced to it by him, learning about how special of a place it was, you know, known as being the best, and having a lot of rich tradition, the best alumni base in the business. And so I was like, I mean, if I'm going to do this, then this is definitely the spot to do it. So, I followed the opportunity to Southeast Ohio, and that's kind of how I was introduced to sports business in general and OU, and how I started my my first residency in the pleasant state of Ohio.
Martin, real quick, because when I went on my visit, it was negative 11 in February, and I hadn't been anywhere other than California and Arizona as far as living, like truly living somewhere. And I still wanted to go. So did that thought path ever cross your mind of like, what? I know you spent time in Colorado, so you had the snow, but coming from Arizona, was it like, what, where am I going?
Yeah, I was, I had a bigger transition when I went to college, because Western Colorado is in Gunnison, Colorado, which is regularly one of the coldest cities in the country. And so we would be like, we wouldn't get out of the negatives for a week stretch. It was nuts. I still don't know how we actually did it. And yeah, coming from, you know, Phoenix, which is the hottest place in the country. And so, but I mean, that was where my opportunity was. That was where I had a scholarship. So I was like, I can make this work. And I think it was the same mindset going to OU, where it was like, wow, this place is in the Hocking Hills, which it's a beautiful place, but like, if you've never been in the area, like, it's pretty remote. And it's like, what am I doing here? It's not great weather. It's remote, isolated, obviously a beautiful campus and everything, and the people are great. But I think that I was open to following the best opportunity. And that's what I did for my undergrad as well. So I was kind of used to adapting.
That is so crazy. I don't think I knew that. I knew you knew Jimmy. I don't think I knew that part about, like, it didn't connect. The dots didn't connect with the starting of the program. Wow. Like, thinking back on how, like, for those that don't know, Martin and I were in the same class, greatest class of all time. Sorry, full stop. But I didn't put two and two together, especially now thinking of how old we are, how long ago that would have been.
I mean, I met Jim Kaler, that must have been 2002, or 22 years ago.
Wow, I was still preparing to throw up the 05 hand sign upon graduation of high school. I was like, ooh, we have a class number in 05. That is awesome. Martin, your pathway to OU was, I think, going from an athlete, and you talked about understanding or recognizing, being self-aware that you were not going to go, you know, to the professionals. I think you could have made it based on your O'Malley performances. I think you could have gone. But talk a little bit about that, the importance of understanding that and being real with yourself for others who may be in a similar situation to you. They're in undergrad, you know, they've had hopes their entire life of taking their professional career one way and just reevaluating.
Yeah, I think first going back to the O'Malley, you know, obviously class of 13, we won back-to-back years. So I don't know how often that's actually happened. But I think the class of 14 and the class of 12 are probably what made me look a little bit better than I was just by comparison. But I think, yeah, I think being self-aware and being open to pivoting, I think there's a balance of like being self-aware and knowing what's realistic and also still being able to, you know, have lofty aspirations and goals. Right. So I've definitely always struggled with that, where, look, I probably could have gone to play in Mexico or, like, you know, some professional league that, you know, they're covering your room and board or something like that. And so I think what it comes down to more is that I really didn't want to play after that. Like, I had injuries and my career had kind of run its path. And so I think that's really what made me reevaluate, like, what do I want to do next? But I do think it's important to, again, to not be so practical that you can't dream. Like, as cheesy as that sounds, that's an internal battle that I've always had. So that was my sort of takeaway from that stage of my career of, like, I think I ultimately decided to stop being an athlete and start on the business side, because it was honestly what I had interest in having, you know, a 20, 30 year career doing. And so whether it was, you know, playing sports for another few years and then going to do it, or whether it was doing it right out of undergrad, I just decided that that was the path that was most interesting to me.
Martin, most student athletes will think about the player side first before the business side, right? Because it's, again, no fault to being a former student athlete, but it's like, that's all you know, right? And so you're like, okay, cool, coaching or administration, ops, right? Like, that's what you think about. That was the path that I took, even on the player development scouting side to start, because I was like, well, this is, I've been around it all, you know, all my life. Like, but then you don't factor in the business side. What's your advice for people on, hey, not everybody's going to be a GM, like open your eyes to what else is out there?
Yeah. Well, it's interesting. My dad has been a high school basketball coach in Arizona for almost 30 years. So I grew up in a household with, you know, in a basketball coach's household. So I certainly had an appreciation for the player personnel and the coaching side of things too. Anybody that knows Jim Kaler knows that there's only one path in sports, and that's corporate partnerships. So I do think that that was somewhat of
which is where you're at. It's okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So I do think that he sold me pretty early on that. And now it feels like it was my idea and my path that I sort of created. But no, I think that, having grown up in a household with a coach, like, I kind of know what that grind is like. And I was really just not as interested in that side of things. Like, I don't really think Jim Kaler had anything to do with that. I really never had any aspirations to be a coach. As I'm getting older now, I think I'll probably get into, like, Little League with my kids and, like, their youth teams, and dip my toe in the water with coaching with that. But I don't think I would ever do the full time. I mean, that grind is insane. On the player personnel and the coaching side, like, you know, we grind our butts off on the business side, of course, but, like, those guys and girls never stop. And you have to be 100% sure that that's the path you want to go. And if you go that direction, because it is your life. So that's why I'm on the business side.
That's amazing. And that is a good point. It's like, I think people don't realize, especially when you're young, people don't realize the different levels to the grind in sports and the different avenues, and on the business side versus on the, you know, the player side or the team side, team meaning the actual participation of the people doing the sport. There's levels to the grind, right? Like, there's obviously the expectation that when you work in sports, you're going to work 50 hours a week, 60 hours a week, or whatever, but, like, actually realizing that there are indeed more hours in the week that could be worked, I think that is definitely something that people need to really think about. And as they are looking to life after Court Street, see what I did there? Looking into life after Court Street, it's understanding how that plays into what success has been like, or what success is defined like after Court Street and as you go on in your career and in your life. So talk a little bit about, you've been busy since you left Athens. Martin, what's been going on? Talk a little bit about some of the things you've done since then.
So I've been here at Ohio State working for Learfield for just over 5 years now. My wife and I moved up here, my now wife, who I met on Court Street at Bronies.
Love in the streets.
Yep. Have no idea what an undergrad was doing at Bronies, but both of us, I think, were lucky that she was there that night. Shout out to Mike Dearman for helping with the icebreaker. Okay. Yeah, so straight from OU, I went to my GA, which is no longer in existence. I think Brian Joyce was the last one to have the GA I had with Disney and the Wide World of Sports. So I kind of already had my, with the way that that GA worked out was that you go down there for an internship right after you graduate. So I had an internship down there, ended up getting placed with Disney Institute, which at the time we were really in our heyday of working with sports teams to basically help them think of their business, how Disney thinks of guest experience, culture, leadership, and things like that. With the idea of like make my stadiums and my arenas as friendly and as desirable to return to as you guys do at Disney. And so I worked on that team as an intern for a year, stayed on as a coordinator for another year after that, knowing that I was getting some B2B sales, business development experience and talking with, you know, leadership level folks, hearing how they think about their business, hearing how they articulate their vision for the business, knowing that that would ultimately lead to that B2B experience. Again, I had always thought sponsorship's the right place for me. And so, you know, there's a dozen different ways to get there. So that was kind of my initial step to go that direction. Started talking with Learfield, actually then was IMG College at the time, about a couple of openings. Didn't end up getting those, but kind of stayed in touch with their HR department. Which will come into play for a step later on in my career. But eventually ended up talking with some people that were our clients at the NBA, like, hey, I want to get into corporate partnerships. What do you guys think? Like, what are some other things I should be thinking of? And they were like, you know, ticket sales is one way to start, obviously. One alternative is premium sales, which is, you know, focusing on suites and courtside seats and premium seats. And it tends to be more of a business focused client, more of a B2B conversation. That can be a really good training ground if you do want to go into corporate partnerships. So I said, okay, let me check that out. It happened to be that the Magic were hiring one of those spots at the time. And so rather than what it's usually a ticket inside sales AE role that leads to that type of position, at the time, they happened to be thinking about premium to be more of a consultative approach, similar to corporate partnerships. That's how I positioned myself and my experience at Disney is kind of fitting that mold. And so, you know, there, I think there's a lot of teams where you probably wouldn't be able to get a premium spot without ticket sales experience, but it just happened, just so happened that they were looking for someone with experience and background more similar to mine compared to ticket sales. And so I got that role, worked for some great people there. A lot of them are still there. It's a great organization. Eventually moved into corporate partnerships. And so Erin, my now wife, we had gotten engaged. She was in her residency for following her medical school graduation down there in Orlando. And so we were living together. I was working at the Magic. She was finishing up her medical school. And I think I just said residency, but she's actually finishing medical school. And how residencies work in medical school is there's a match day. And so Orlando was our top choice. Columbus was our second choice. And everybody that's in medical school and is graduating opens an envelope on the same day and you get your match and you're obligated to go to that match, or basically you're blackballed from the industry. And so she opened her envelope. We're sitting in our living room in downtown Orlando and it was Columbus. And we were like, all right, you know, I think like neither of us were disappointed because you can not match. That's an option. So like we were grateful. And it was a second choice, which is awesome. But we hadn't really mentally prepared to move. And I had just gotten into corporate partnerships at the Magic, which was like, you know, my short-term goal at the time. So I was like living the dream. And so we're like, all right, Columbus. Immediately in my head, I'm like, all right, we got the Blue Jackets, Ohio State, and the Crew, who were a lot smaller back then than they are now. And I was like, okay, this is going to be interesting. I do not know what I'm going to do next. And then I was thinking, all right, what do I do? What would I do out of sports? Because it's like, you know, there's only three teams. Like, what are the odds? And I reached out to the people that I had gotten to know at IMG College when I applied.
There is a minor league baseball team, right?
Oh, yeah, the Clippers. Yeah.
Yeah. Four.
You're right, Jake. That was, and no offense to any Clippers fans or employees that may be listening, I wasn't fully aware of them at the time.
My eye is twitching. Continue, Martin.
And so I knew some HR people at IMG College, and they happened to have a position open actually when I wrote them and was like, hey, I have to move to Columbus. Would love to talk about Ohio State if there's anything that comes open down the road. There was a spot open. Literally 2 months later, I was moving up here before Aaron even moved up here to start this role. And so I've been doing this since, grown in the role, similar role for the last 5 years, some added responsibility and some promotions along the way, but been chugging along ever since.
That's awesome. It's awesome to hear. And I want to ask you about, like, in your journey there with Aaron, who we love, right? Like, you said something that I think is so powerful that we oftentimes don't necessarily hear from the male perspective when it comes to partnership and relationships, is you said, I have to move to Columbus, so I have to make it work. Talk a little bit about the importance of, I don't want to say the importance of making it work off the court, pitch, whatever, outside of sports. But for you as a man, kind of in the traditional sports, I work in sports, oftentimes we hear women move for their partners. You actually did the reverse. Talk about kind of how your mindset was in there, and any, you know, I guess thoughts and or things you would recommend to others maybe in a similar situation.
Yeah. I think it really came down to, like, we had talked about, you know, yeah, we want to stay in Orlando. Yeah, there's a chance that it works out that way. But we had to mentally prepare for, you know, what happens if that doesn't happen. And I think she felt good that I was committed, but actually engaged to her. We got engaged before match day. I did that intentionally so that she knew, like, I'm committed for sure. So yeah. It really came down to, like, we knew we were happy together. We knew we wanted to be together. And if that meant that I had to switch where I live and what job I'm doing, then I was willing to do that. And it really wasn't any more complicated than that.
Come on. He said, this is my partner. We out here. We doing this thing. He put a ring on it to say, let's go. Sorry, I just get excited. Two kids later.
Yeah. Yep.
It can be done, folks. It can be done.
Martin, what's your advice for people on, hey, you know, you're in one place, right? Because there is this notion in the industry of, hey, if you want to climb the ladder or do X, Y, Z, you've got to move and yada, yada. And, like, what's your advice though, now that you know, hey, I'm here, I'm going to grow in my current role. Whether it's patience, there's probably a ton of different answers, but what's your advice for people who know that they're in one spot and not going to move?
It's a challenge. It's definitely a challenge that I think a lot about. But what I've found is that it's definitely a game of patience, right? Like, there's, you know, I see opportunities come up over the last 3 or 4 years. Like, man, if only I wasn't bound to Columbus, like, I would be all about that position or that opportunity. And so it's easy to look, you know, on the other side of the fence and, you know, the grass is always greener on the other side, but you know, not being able to pursue those fully is definitely a challenge of patience and knowing that, like, all right, when the time is right, and if we want to move at some point, that's when, you know, I'll be able to kind of pursue those opportunities. For now, our family's happy. We like it here. You know, we've been able to have a great group of friends and a great life we've built here. And so that, again, is something that sort of trumps the aspirations of, like, man, I want to go do this or go do that in this new exciting team or new exciting opportunity. And so I think that once I came to terms with that, like, a couple of years ago, I started to think, okay, well, if I'm going to be here, one, there's other sports teams here. So there hasn't been an opportunity at one of those teams that made sense for me along the way. But that's always an opportunity, right, of getting to know the people that are at the teams also in your city, so that, you know, if I could go and work for one of those teams, that maybe buy me another couple of years of being happy in the same city, you know, if I'm someone listening to this. and thinking of it in those terms. But so I think that's one thing, networking, meeting the other people at, you know, at teams that are also in your market. I think another thing is, to your point, and what you alluded to, is trying to figure out how you can grow in your current role. And so I think that's a conversation with your superiors, and that, you know, I had a very honest conversation with my boss and my boss's boss around, you know, I'm going to be here in Columbus. I want to be here on this team. I also want to do more, and I'm also ready to do more. So how can we figure out a plan for that? And someone in the industry who's works for like a job placement or you know, a headhunting firm gave me the advice of, if you can't lead people, then lead projects. And so, you know, I've always seen my next step as leading a team of partnership sellers. For the time being, that's not going to happen at Ohio State. But what I could do is raise my hand and say, you know, and use that line to my superiors and say, let me know what makes sense. And so I've started to do that the last 2 years, and grateful for the people that I work for giving me those opportunities after I asked for them. But I think it's one, having, making an ask of, you know, how else do you think you can grow in this role that you're in? Two, asking your superiors, how do you think I could roll or in sort of grow my role in this same job? Or what else can I do to help the property be successful? And starting to think of it in terms of, like, what would be best for the property? And so I was able to take on three cool projects over the last 2 years that I've been sort of building and working on, which is normally the type of project that like a director of sales would be working on, so that I can get that experience in leading projects. Although, you know, the role of leading people is not open right now at our property. So I think those are two things that I've focused on that have helped me sort of stay engaged and stay happy where I am, knowing that I can't or don't want to relocate physically.
I love that leading projects piece, because there isn't always money or headcount or right. Like, you're, there's, depending on where you're at and at a property like you're at, there's only so many people that you can feasibly have to run your business, right? Efficiently. So when you think about where you're going to grow skill sets. And I also want to just make sure I highlight what you said about what's good for the property, not what's good for Martin, right? Because what's good for Martin will ultimately come when you're thinking about what's good for the property. And I think that's an important piece too, to understand.
I didn't think like that right off the bat. I'll be honest about that. I mean, it took me having conversations with my bosses to understand that that's how, you know, they want what's best for me, but that's also what they're, how they're looking at it and how our VPs and our EVPs are looking at it. Like, okay, yeah. Like, you know, we may want to grow someone, but like, and we, that'll be good for them and we care about them, but like, what's that going to do for the property? How's that going to help the business? Because really at the end of the day, I don't want to say that's what it's all about, because it's all about the people, but business is a very close second.
Mm-hmm. I love the line. I actually wrote that down. If you can't lead people, lead projects, because I think we are often in this industry, it's assumed that to go up or to be promoted or to get additional responsibilities means you have to lead people. And as a person, as a leader of people, it is quite difficult to lead people and to lead projects at the same time. And so for you to be able to verbalize and to be on one accord with your organization on understanding that both of those are equally as valuable, but distinctly different, but equally as valuable, I think is a really important note. So I want to double tap on that for sure for those listening. If you can't lead people, lead projects.
Martin, real quick, one example as Laura does the mic drop. Yeah. When you try and go lead a project, is it in your scope of expertise or something that you are needing to learn about, but you're more wrangling people together that also have the expertise to help you?
Yeah, it's the latter, because like, right, I'm a expert in selling, but like, and that's still always going to be my role, right? No matter what project I'm working on the side, like, you have to make sure that your primary role is being done at the highest level, which I think is another important thing to keep in mind. But it's going through the process of For example, there's a new LED product that we're going to put at Ohio Stadium this fall. And so working on the pro forma with the business manager within our region on what's the life cycle, what's the payoff cycle, when are we going to be cash flow positive on this asset specifically, getting quotes and working with project managers on what the product is actually going to be, how we're going to install it, working with facilities to talk through that plan. And so like, I'm really just the, you know, one of the spokespeople that's kind of wrangling all these things together. The experts are the ones that are really telling us like what costs are, what specs are, what the installation timeline is going to be. We need to get approval from corporate for the CapEx in general. And here's the pro forma to help with that. So it's more getting insight into all those different sort of tangents that our business touches. But as a seller, I don't know or really care about, you know, some of those other things that are going on outside of my primary role. So it was an opportunity to meet people that are experts in those spaces, understand how they look at things, understand how our business plays a role in that. And I'll say there's a lot of times where it's like, I still have to work with, you know, my leaders to who are actually the folks that are saying yay or nay to some of these decisions. And so there's a little bit of like a, man, am I really making a difference in being a part of this project? And so I would say that that's definitely a battle that people will need to fight if they try to take on this type of growth, is that, you know, step outside of your comfort zone. And that's a very common term, right? But like, you're going to be out of your comfort zone and you're going to be having conversations that you're probably not qualified to have on your own. But I think that's where you really learn and grow and start to realize, yeah, I can do this. So I can figure this out. So that's kind of all that I think comes to mind when you bring up that topic.
Laura, you got anything else before we get to rapid fire?
I mean, I could ask Martin a million questions, but I won't, because not all of them need to be asked on the podcast.
So rapid fire.
All right, Martin, rapid fire. This is my favorite part of the section, because one, it's either or.
We're working on. Sponsor on this feature yet?
Not yet. Not yet. You know somebody?
Maybe.
You look, we could, maybe it's bronies, I don't know, but I don't want it to like interfere with people's choices. I need them to remain authentic. Pigskin, maybe it can be added to the booklet. Somebody
I can get you some traded pigskin. Yeah.
Look, listening, whoever is listening from the grad program right now, add the podcast to the booklet, make it happen. Okay. So these are either or questions about your time at, in Athens and or after, whatever, could be random. Ready? Pigskin or CI?
CI, hands down. Those black widows are nasty. I don't care what anybody says. Those things are nasty.
I do agree. And nasty. I think we have two different definitions of nasty, but I agree.
CI is a vibe. CI is a vibe.
You know the floor is no longer sticky?
I didn't know that. I was going to say their floor is nasty, but...
No more. It's like Everybody in Athens went through new flooring. It's not sticky. You just glide on in.
I think that was part of the vibe, but you know, it's probably more sanitary, so that's good.
Martin, if you could play us a different sport in college going back, what would it have been?
Golf, for sure.
Definitely not in Western Colorado, that's for sure.
I definitely wouldn't have been in Western Colorado to play golf. might have stayed closer to home for that one.
Yeah.
Knowing that you're in the great state of Ohio and in my hometown city of Columbus, and I know the craze of pickleball has taken the world by storm, and as the daughter of the sole creator of pickleball in the city of Columbus, there are air quotes being used there. Golf or pickleball? Really?
I think that pickleball's gotten too. I think pickleball's gotten too popular that I'm automatically resistant to it, and I'm trying to find something wrong with it.
Hmm.
Where I'm like,
wrong with it.
It is really cool because I'm really struggling to figure out what's wrong with it, because I'm like, I'd rather play ping pong. But then it's like, yeah, but this is cooler than that. And like, I don't want to play tennis because that's a way bigger court and way more difficult. It's like, damn, they did find a nice little sweet spot here.
Next time I'm home, bring it to the pickleball courts because you're with your wingspan. For those who don't know, Martin is what, 6'4"?
Somewhere around there, yeah.
Oh, Martin, we're gonna be doubles partners. Come on, let's go.
No, we're going to the pickleball court. 6'4". That ball is coming straight down.
Sure, I've never even played before, and I think it's because I don't want to come to the realization that it's cool.
I'm taking it to the courts.
You'll go right back to your competitive days. So speaking of those, if you are taking the last shot, are you going three-pointer or are you trying to drive the lane?
With my shot, and my friends will tell you, and all of our classmates will tell you that are listening, definitely a layup. I got to get to the rack.
Jake, you got to get to
the... I'm pump faking the three and I'm getting to the rack. That probably ages me though, because kids these days would be like, oh, step back three for sure.
Yeah, I was going to say it's like 70% shots from three from beyond the arc nowadays, right? So
I watched my dad's team play this year and I was like, man, I would have been on the end of the bench for four games straight if I would have taken some of the threes that these kids are taking.
Get to the bucket. You out here doing quadruple step backs and all the get to the buckets. Don't get me started, Martin. The young generation. Okay. End of the night. You've been at the CI. You've consumed no less than 5 Black Widows. Okay? It's time to go home. It's time. Are you swinging by Big Mama's or are you swinging by Deepido?
Well, Deepido was always a last resort because it's at the base of the summit. So if you get home empty-handed and you made a mistake and forgot or whatever, then you always have that in your back pocket. So I'm actually going to go with neither and go to my true favorite, which is Goodfellas, $5, 2 slices, and a soda.
You can't get that
anymore. I don't know what inflation has done to that deal, but...
It's still $5. Can we confirm that?
Back then it was.
We'll have to confirm back in Athens.
Yeah. We're like $8.50 now.
Yeah.
I mean, there was a time when Chipotle too was $5 for a burrito. Yeah, it is like 13. That's
double now. Yeah. All right, last one for you. You can't include football or basketball. What is a favorite sporting event that you're going to on campus there?
For clarification. Men's football or men's basketball? Can't choose it.
If I had women's football, I would have to check that out. But no, I'll say wrestling. They have a new arena, relatively new arena there that they pack for all their matches. And that the intensity of those matches is just next level. Like, and just the athleticism of these athletes is crazy. Things I could never do. As you say, Laura, like I'm 6'5 and lanky. Like I would be in big, big trouble in a ring with any of these dudes. But yeah, what they can do. And then the intensity of the crowd in that environment with the lights low and just the center light. I mean, those are special and a lot different than pretty much all the other sporting events.
Martin, really appreciate you sharing your journey, your story, different perspectives that hopefully people can resonate with and relate to, and welcome on anytime in the near future. And for the sake of the episode, go Bobcats and go Buckeyes.
Appreciate that special exception. Thanks for having me, guys.
Hey everyone, thanks for listening to today's episode, and I just want to give a quick shout out to ScreenSkins, our presenting sponsor of the Teamwork Online webinar series, the number one branded screen protector that allows you to personalize your screen protector for custom or officially licensed designs that disappear. Get yours today by visiting ScreenSkins.com and use the code LIFO24 at checkout for 20% off today, LIFO24. At ScreenSkins.com at checkout for 20% off. Thanks, everyone.